Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen of Ryan Elke in the Motor City Studio. Anthony Bellino coming to you from the Radio Bunker. Joining us on the horn right now, former NBA alum, college standout, Michigan Wolverine, and current analyst on the Michigan Wolverines Radio Network, our good friend Terry Mills. Terry, my friend, first and foremost, thank you for taking the time to join us today. How are you, partner?
I'm doing well, Anthony. Thanks for having me on.
This has been quite a ride, quite a season thus far for the Michigan Wolverines. How much fun are you having calling these games as they're off to another crazy start, one of the best starts they've had in about 50 years with their record and the way that they've been playing basketball? It's got to make calling these games a whole heck of a lot of fun.
Yes, it is, man. I'm really having the ball, man, calling these games, man, because, you know, you kind of know what to expect from this team each game. You know, I mean, they're playing their hearts out. Coach Howard just has them in the moment and just letting these guys know that, hey, tomorrow's not given to us. You know, we don't know. We're taking it day by day. And no, it sounds cliche, but that's what it is. We say, hey, we practice today. We don't know if we'll practice tomorrow. You know, they could end the season. We don't know what's going to happen. So I think right now, I mean, I'm really having a ball calling these games.
You know, Terry, you were on a very, very important team there at the University of Michigan, one that fans can look back to. They could see the banner hanging, and it's something that was unique and very special. And I don't know if a lot of people, you know, a lot of people might talk about championship aspirations, and I think with this COVID season, we're just happy to have a team to watch and to root for that's being successful, especially when you factor in all of the Detroit sports really struggling at this moment. So Michigan basketball really being the bright spot. Does this team have championship DNA, in your opinion?
Yes, they do. I really love their chances of winning a championship. You know, when you look at the makeup of this team, you know, with the addition of two seniors and the leadership that they have, and I mean, it's just a special built team. I don't see them lacking in any department. Everyone is businesslike. You got to like that probably the most, is that the way these guys go about their business, you know, in the COVID situation that we're in right now. You know, I even spoke on it and say, I don't know if our group would have handled better than this group. You know, I think it would have been some bad situations in there with our group. But these guys, I'm talking about, you know, the sacrifice that they're taking, you know, not going out, not being able to go to class. It's like go to practice, go sit in the dorm, and you know, wait till you're called up on again to go to practice. So I think it's a very special unit. And, you know, with the sacrifices that they're taking, it's starting to pay off for them.
It really does seem, you mentioned something very, very important there about not lacking in any certain department. They can get you any which way. Let's dial in first at that point guard spot with Mike Smith, because during their scrimmage earlier in the year, the team wanted to have a scrimmage, and they brought the entire game staff there. They had refs, so we're all there to try to make this thing feel as real as possible. With no fans in the stands, they'll test the crowd noise and everything else. So one of the first things that stood out to me was the fact that, okay, you're losing a quality floor general, a real leader on the court, and a defensive dog in Xavier Simpson. He's leaving. How will Eli Brooks look in maybe this new role, and who is Mike Smith? It took me about 5 seconds to realize, well, okay, Mike Smith is going to be the point guard, and this guy can get to any spot on the floor with the basketball that he wants. He can change directions at any moment. He runs the offense well. I love an offense that is like a la Chauncey Billups, where, hey, I can hit a shot if I need to, but I'm here to direct this thing and be that orchestrator, if you will, from the point position. Mike Smith has been an absolute stud. I can't thank Juwan Howard, and maybe even have to thank God enough for bringing him to the Maize and Blue.
Yeah, well, look how Mike Smith just bought in when he came here. You know, I was, happy that Michigan had an opportunity to get him. I mean, not that I followed him or anything, but anytime you can get a player that averaged 20 points a ball game, 20-plus, in Division One basketball, you got to figure this guy can put the ball in the hole. And so that's what Mike Smith was. But just to have the sacrifices that he's taken, I mean, all of a sudden you're just saying, hey, you're not the number one scorer. We're asking you to distribute the basketball, get everybody involved. And for him to be able to take on that role and adapt so fast, that was just special. I mean, you look at him, you know, where he came from. He was a guy that was asked to do everything. We need you to score every single time. You know, we don't have a second or third option. You are a second and third option. So I think that he's a very special kid, and he's bought in, and he's got this team going in the right direction.
Former national champion, NBA alum, and current broadcaster on the Michigan Wolverines radio network, Terry Mills, joined us here on X's and Bros. And Terry, when we move from that point guard position to the shooting guard, and it kind of feels like Eli Brooks has almost been intertwinable. This team, by the way, this Michigan Wolverine squad has not lost with Eli Brooks in the lineup. That lone loss on their 16-1 record, that blemish came when he was out of the game. That was a road game in the barn there against the Minnesota Golden Gophers. But when you look at the way that Eli, when you think about accepting roles and guys just buying in and playing unselfish, but hey, when called upon, I can make that shot. Eli's another guy that really stands out.
Yes, he is. I mean, it's defense first with Eli, and I always say, you know, during the broadcast, anytime he's hitting shots, this is a plus. But that's not something I think that they really depend on him making those shots. I think, you know, one of the things that he brings to this team is he gives this team a calm. You know, all of a sudden when things start going wrong, you could kind of turn to Eli to make a big play or, you know, to calm things down a little bit. I thought that was one of the things they didn't have in Minnesota at that time. All of a sudden Minnesota goes on a roll and we don't have anyone to, you know, give us that calm that we need on the court. And that's what Eli brings. I mean, hey, tip your hat to this kid. He guards the usually the top scorer on the team. I mean, outside of a center, but I mean that's the way he's matched up, and his makeup is that he wants to shut him down. So he's just a special kid. I mean, he's not shying away from competition, that's for sure.
Yeah, he is. He's really been something else. And then of course the other transfer, Sean D. Brown Jr. This guy's almost like a Michigan legend, and he's only been here for, you know, a season. Just because the way that he comes in, I mean, I think it was Brendan Quinn who tweeted it during the Ohio State game, like Sean D has officially checked into the rivalry, and you knew what you were going to get. You knew what you get out of Sean D every game on the defensive side. If he contributes on the offensive side and adds a little something for the box score, that's great. But that guy, he has, like, you talk about special, you talk about intense. And I think that the team really kind of takes on his identity and his character when he's out there on the floor. He adds a certain element of gritty, a certain element of dog in him that you have to have. Like, you have to have somebody out there who's not afraid to be a little mean, and he definitely brings that.
Yeah, you said it best. You know, he's got that dog in him. And what he does is that, you know, coaches always ask a kid to go out and give 100%, and then when you get tired, raise your hand, hey, you can come out. Well, Sean D, that's a picture of Sean D. He's going to come in the game. He's going to give you 100%. He's going to raise his hand when he needs to come out, and you can't ask for any more. I mean, once you see him playing the way he did, you talk about, I said a turning point in that Ohio State game was those two offensive rebounds that he came up with. Those were huge. And that just said that he wanted it more. But, you know, hey, tip your cap to this young man. This young man's from Florida. He comes to Michigan where it's 0 degrees. He's bought in. I mean, what else can you say about this man? And then accepting his role. I mean, you're talking about a guy that actually started at Wake Forest. Now all of a sudden you come to the University of Michigan and ask to come off the bench. Hey, you look at him and Mike Smith, they're taking all the sacrifices. And I tell you what, it's sacrifice for the right way. And if you told these guys, would you rather score 20 points or would you rather be, you know, 16-1 right now and winning and getting all the attention that you're getting, quite sure they'll say, hey, I enjoy winning.
Yeah, I'll take 20 wins over 20 points any day of the week. That much is for sure. Like, no doubt about that. Like,
right.
Let's go out there. Let's be in the national conversation. Let's be a top five team. Let's go on the road to Columbus and beat number 4, Ohio State. And in a game where if you said Ohio State's going to shoot better than 50% from the floor, better than, or they're going to shoot 50 from three, and they're going to shoot better than 90% from the free throw line, you'd think to yourself, there is no way in God's green earth that Ohio State is going to lose that kind of game where they play that well at home, and it was labeled as a boxing match. Michigan wins a boxing match against Ohio State, which I loved because it was physical, it was gritty, and it was a challenge for everyone involved. How did Michigan win that basketball game, considering how well Ohio State played? Now, they had, you know, a couple of main guys, Dwayne Washington Jr. and E.J. Liddell. Those two went for 53 combined, but outside of that, I mean, Michigan did a number on the rest of that team.
Yeah, well, I think it was just going to boil down to grit. You know, I was just looking for just it's going to be a little play that's going to be the difference in this ball game. And I alluded to it earlier about Sean D getting those offensive rebounds and putbacks. Those were key plays in that game. But, you know, the part I love about Michigan is that they fight through adversity. If it's a bad call, they move on. They go to the next one. They don't allow it to linger. And Coach Howard even talks about it all the time. He doesn't want compound mistakes. You know, I don't mind these guys. Hey, you're going to make mistakes during the course of the game, but don't allow it to linger and go on and on. You know, and, you know, we had that questionable call of whether Dwayne Washington pushed off on Eli or not. Hey, you didn't see Eli complain a whole lot. He got up off the floor, spoke his piece, and, hey, we were on to the next play. And that's the attitude that they've had all year long.
I absolutely love that about this team and these guys. That the fact that, hey, yeah, I might have to get an explanation, as we like to say, and probably have a few words in there. One or two might be a little foul, but that's okay. But outside of that, just keep it moving and keep it, you know, going to the next play. Terry, you played over a decade in the National Basketball Association. I got a text during the basketball game. They said, and the question was, how many NBA guys we got on the floor right now? And I said, well, I mean, depending on, you know, who goes and who stays and who does this and that, it, you know, 3, 4, 5, maybe. I mean, it was a loaded game. There's a lot of talent out there. And I look at a guy like Hunter Dickinson. You're a big man. You played in the post. I'm just impressed with the way that he has handled not only one coming in off the bench as a 5-star. He never pouted, never had a bad attitude about anything. Then Austin Davis went down with an injury. Hunter Dickinson entered the starting lineup, and the young man hasn't looked back. And people want to get amazed at how good he is on the rebounds and how great he is with the basketball. The guy's 7 feet tall. He just turns around and dunks it. Like, awesome. I wish I could. Like, yes, thank you for bringing somebody like that to Michigan. But also, the way that he handles pressure and always seems to make the right choice with the basketball. As a freshman, to be able to handle the double teams, read the defense, make the right pass, make the extra pass where he might not get a direct assist, but it really is the quote-unquote hockey assist. I'm impressed with his basketball IQ and his ability. The game seems real slow for him. Is he an NBA guy? Do you think he goes?
I don't necessarily think he goes this year. I think that, you know, he still has a lot to learn. I think Coach Howard is doing an excellent job with him. I understand the growth, and I see the growth because, you know, there was a game, and I couldn't really point out which game it was, but Hunter wasn't playing extremely well throwing the ball out of the post. You know, it was just turnover after turnover. And then for them to go back into the gym and watch film with Coach Howard said he had some individual sessions with him, and we talked about it, and you could just see the difference in that Ohio State game. He wasn't necessarily trying to make the home run pass. He was using the skip pass. It was just, it was unbelievable. And I always say during the broadcast, this young man is going to strike up with a triple-double one of these games, and don't be surprised.
Yeah, he can do it, and it's got to be great for him to be able to learn from somebody like Juwan Howard. I asked Spike Albrecht this question earlier in the week, and I asked the same one to you, Terry. There's been a lot of debate, a lot of discussion, you know, because people, what else do we have to do besides talk about sports, right? Let's just argue about that. But for those who play it and those who coach in it, it is a much different realm from those of us who are on the outside, especially when we are discussing professional and high-level college sports. It's different to actually do it. You're one of those guys who have done it. So when you look at Michigan pre-Juwan Howard with John Beilein, who did a great job of resurrecting the program in building something very special, Juwan has gone about it in his own way, and it's been different, and it's also been very successful. So naturally people want to compare, not asking you to compare apples to oranges, but asking you, what do you see as the main difference when you watch this team offensively versus what we saw with John Beilein? How would you explain it to us common folk?
You know what? You know, you got to, you know, with both of those coaches, I mean, you just can't go wrong. I think when you talk about Coach Howard, I think he simplifies things, makes things a little bit easier for guys. When you talk about his terminology, things that he wants done. And he lets guys know where they stand. I mean, it's not no, I'm not just saying Coach Beilein didn't do that, but Coach Howard is just right front, black and white, that this is where we stand. You know, this is how we're going to do it, and you're going to really have to trust us in doing this. So I just think that, you know, these guys have bought in. It's one thing to tell guys to take sacrifices. It's another thing when you start winning and you're taking those sacrifices, hey, I'm all on board. You know, hey, coach knows what he's talking about because we continue to have success.
You know, Terry, we haven't had the opportunity. I haven't had the opportunity to ask you this question, but now that we're, you know, about a full season and some games into this thing, what do you make of it? How about that hire? What, Juwan Howard coming back? I mean, this was something that I know a lot of Michigan fans were excited about. A lot of media were very critical about because he, quote unquote, didn't have the head coaching experience. To me, you spend that much time in the NBA and that much time on an NBA bench as a coach, I don't give a damn if you were the head coach of Team USA or head coach of a varsity high school team. Like, the guy, it can do it. He can coach. He knows the game. How impressed have you been with what he's been able to do with this program?
Well, you know what? I had no doubt in my mind what he was capable of doing. Coach Howard comes from the Miami Heat organization. I played in that organization for 2 years. I know what they're about, you know, holding accountability, you know, being on time, making sure that you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing. Very disciplined. And that's what he's brought to the University of Michigan. So that is no surprise to me about what he's brought to the table. I mean, it's just been very special. And I don't see anywhere that Michigan could have went wrong with hiring him. I mean, everybody had questions and whatever else have you. And I talked with Athletic Director Ward Manuel during the process. You know, he wanted my thoughts and about different coaches and things like that. And I said, you know, hey, Juwan Howard will be your hire. You know, I mean, I know you ultimately got to make it, and everybody want to question about, oh, does he have a coaching experience? Does he have this and that? I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, did they question you when Calhoun left and you hired Kevin Ollie, and you win a national championship? I said, so obviously you know what you're talking about. You know what you're doing. So you trust your judgment. I mean, are people still questioning that to this day? I don't know if Kevin Ollie had head coach experience or whatever it was, but he won a national championship.
Yep, very true. He was able to do it. Last one here for you, Terry. Just on Juwan, how special was it for you to have him be named the head coach, a member of the Fab Five, one of those guys that kind of took the torch from your championship team and kept Michigan in that national spotlight, that national shine? That had to be fun for you to see, you know, one of your own brothers from that Michigan basketball fraternity get elected in that position.
Oh, yeah, very, very special. You know, I've had an opportunity to spent a lot of time with Juwan Howard, even throughout the NBA, but even recruiting him to the University of Michigan. I've had phone conversations with him where, you know, Coach Brian Dusher or Coach Fisher would call me when me being in the NBA. Hey, can you get Juwan a call, man? We really could use your help in getting him to come to the University of Michigan, because we kind of feel like if we get Juwan, everything else is going to follow suit. And it did. You know, all of a sudden you signed Juwan, and here comes Jalen, and then, you know, hey, next thing you know, you've got the Fab Five. So they knew exactly what they were talking about. And like I said, I couldn't be more happier for him, because he's doing the right thing. He's having success, and he's just a competitor. So anytime a guy's a competitor and going to put the work in, he's going to have success.
He is Terry Mills. You can find him on the Michigan Wolverines broadcast for games of the Michigan Wolverines Radio Network. NBA alum, national champion, Michigan alum. Thank you so much for your time today, Terry. We greatly appreciate you.
Thanks, man. Please take care of yourself.